All right, welcome back, everybody. We're going to start this one out and introduce ourselves like we always do. But I always say, I'm so excited about this one. It's going to be so wonderful. I am not excited about this one. I'm dreading this one. I hate this word. That's why it's so important that we talk about it and that you talk about it with your kids. My name's Leslie Bolser. I am very impatient. And I am the creative director for Core Essential Values. We are a curriculum company that works with schools and families and communities to help kids be the very best they can and learn as much as possible in school. And I'm here, as always, with my friend, Dr. Beth Trammell. Can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, this is a word that I probably need to talk about daily because it's not, it's a word that I love for everyone else,
sure.
But for myself, it is always a little extra special. So I'm a psychologist, Beth Trammell, and I work at IU East where I'm the director of the Master's in Mental Health Counseling program. And yeah, I mean, I try to focus on helping adults who are around children, whether that's parents, caregivers, teachers, to be more intentional with the words we say. And so this one is no joke, actually.
No. And I as always, you already started off with something just talking about being intentional. And so the word is patience. Mm. And what we're describing it this month is waiting until later for what you want now. And patience is a very good thing. And you're right. I would love everyone around me to have just oodles and oodles of patience all the time. Mm-hmm. Because Lord knows people need patience with me and around me, right? it's real. It's real. But I like to move very quickly and I have not a lot of patience on my own. So treat me, Beth. Treat me. Tell me what I need to do here. Oh. How can I have more patience?
Okay, so we should probably start this conversation by saying this is one of these where, I mean, for me in particular, I'm going to tell you like how it's supposed to go and then maybe even share some moments where in my own life or in the lives of people that I kind of work with, it doesn't always go that way, right? The truth is we've had oodles and oodles and oodles of science that say it's hard for us to wait. It is so hard for us to wait for things we want until later. Like, It's just a really hard concept in general. And it's also a concept that we ask our kids to do way more than is developmentally appropriate. You know, the number of times I've told my kids, right, on a daily basis. So I have two bigs and two littles. That's how I describe it. I have kind of two teenagers and then a 10 and an 8-year-old. And if somebody had a clicker, you know, one of those like little clickers when, you know, someone's going to an event and they want to know how many people have come, it would be embarrassing the number of times that somebody could follow me with a clicker that I made my children wait, or I've actually said the word, you just have to wait.
Wait a second.
Okay. Well, first I got to do this. So you just are going to have to wait. You know, you're just going to have to wait. You're just going to have to wait. It's just so hard to wait. So I think this idea of patience is one that we find to be frustrating to teach because it's frustrating to do.
Yeah, that's great. That's a really great point. That's really good. So it's going to take me a minute to take my brain back to preschool and pre-K, but let's talk about with little folks. This has to be especially frustrating when you really have a lack of impulse control and you're 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is when I do trainings or if I do consultation for preschool teachers, I basically say to them, like, it's inappropriate for us at this developmental stage to require them to wait much longer than, you know, a couple of minutes. I think there's kind of this rule of thumb. I'm not sure if it's backed by science, but there's kind of this rule of thumb that, you know, kids can sort of tolerate 1 minute per their age. So for example, if you're going to sit and read a book or you're going to sit and have an activity for a 3-year-old, you can anticipate that they can probably chill out long enough for a 3-minute story for a 3-year-old. Now, there's definitely science that suggests if we want to keep kids engaged, then giving them lots of opportunities to respond is really important. And there's some science that says that we should give them between 3 and 4 opportunities to respond every minute. And so, if I have a child who has to wait for a drink of water for any more than just a few seconds, I need to give them an opportunity to do something, right? So that's why, if you drop your kids off at preschool, or if you have preschoolers or young kids, you might see teachers who have a whole box of fidgets, or you have them doing something, standing in a line, they're singing a song, they're doing, little puppet things. Like, we're trying to teach patience at a very young age, but we have to realize that patience at a very young age is a very short time frame. I'm talking like less than 5 minutes, which doesn't seem like a lot of patience for parents who are like, I need to cook dinner and it takes longer than 5 minutes.
And I've had no breaks all day.
Yeah,
So
right.
I'm already frazzled, and now I have to do this all very quickly for you because you have a lack of patience, which makes my patience run thin.
Which makes everybody's patience just not so good. So instead of expecting lots of patience, we should anticipate and plan for needing to have them engaged. So for our preschoolers, we need to get them set up with something to do while I have other things I have to do, coming up with an activity they can do at the table while you're cooking and you're talking with them. Maybe they have Play-Doh or paint, or they're in the kitchen with you, and that takes a whole lot of patience. But, it's like, instead of just expecting patience all the time, we need to focus on trying to keep them engaged or giving them something to do so that we're not just always requiring patience.
Does that translate to elementary as well? Is that kind of the same strategy to find something engaging for them to do in the waiting period, or are they a little more able to just simply wait?
We all still suck at waiting. I mean, that's the truth. Like, even at a stoplight, nobody waits, even three cars at a stoplight. Like, if there's the choice between it, there's two cars in this lane and there's no cars in that lane, 95% of us are going over to that lane where I don't have to wait for any cars. So waiting is a skill that we just all are terrible at. So our elementary age kids are actually at least a little better at independent play, and they can have a little more independence. And so if you can make a couple of suggestions, like, okay, well, while I'm cooking dinner, you can either read or play with your Legos. And then after I'm done getting our spaghetti on, I'll come and I'll see how you're doing. They do have a little more independence, so it makes it's kind of like less actual waiting and more like they can do things on their own. And so I'm not sure if we'd call that patience, or maybe it's just we get them distracted. But they should have a little more tolerance toward waiting. But even still, longer than 5 or 6 minutes, just none of us are, you've been in the grocery line, right? Where you're like, the person in front of you, they're looking for their coupon. Or, oh, they can't find the right credit card to pay. Or, oh, they're looking for this and they can't find it. Or, we don't wait but a minute and a half and we're like, oh, this girl. And it's like, where you got to be in the next like 38 seconds? Like, just, and I do this myself, Leslie, right? Where I'm just like, okay, Beth, take a breath. This really, I mean, this person is frazzled, right? She can't find her credit card. It's somewhere in her purse. She's doing her best. Let me not like sit here and roll my eyes at her. Let me not like,
Inch the cart closer and closer and closer.
like huff audibly. Let me just not need to do this. Let me practice and model patience.
Well, it's funny when you describe it that way, how intertwined it is with just empathy and kindness, right? Like our patience or our lack of patience when it relates to other people is directly tied to other skills we talk about, right? Which makes it, I don't know, maybe a little easier to think about it in those terms when you think about it in terms of empathy and kindness and respect for others. Maybe that makes patience a slightly better. I don't know. So middle schoolers and high schoolers, for them, waiting until later for what you want now takes a really different meaning, I think, because there are so many situations where they feel like they are grown.
Oh, yeah.
They should be able just to do the thing or have the thing or, not wait until later. And it seems like it's a much more difficult conversation to be patient when they're older.
It's similar in some ways to the conversation with any of us, you know? Yes, I know you want it right now. You've got it in your mind right now. And because we live in a world where we have access to countless pieces of information on our devices that we carry with us everywhere, you know, we just are not, we're just not primed to really like hold information or just like hold an idea or just hold a desire and not act on it. If I have a question, oh, I'm going to pull up my phone right now and I'll be able to have this question answered immediately. We're just not, you know, we've sort of got this, our devices are great in many ways, and it also kind of perpetuates this lack of like waiting for whatever I want. So teenagers also are in a stage of development where they are very what we call egocentric. And so that doesn't mean like they're focused on their own ego. What it means is like they're very focused on themselves. You know, if you have a teenager that you're sort of like, well, that was kind of a selfish thing to say. Yes, that's because that's their stage of development. They like are aware of other people in the environment. They have social awareness, but the stage of development they're in really focuses on their personal and inside experience. You know, I've had conversations with my teenagers where, okay, I want this thing, and mom, can we get up and go to the store right now? Because
Can you just get on Amazon right now? Can you just get
just
it right
right now, they have to pause
now?
to actually like think out loud about, oh, mom is actually at her computer and she's working. But their initial thought is not about mom is working. Their initial thought, their natural state of development right now, this phase they're in, is this is my experience and what matters to me. And so it must matter to everyone. So that just means, hey, we got to continue to plant those seeds and train them. And again, I come back to that idea of pause that we kind of talked about last month with peace, right? Where it's sort of like teaching them before they ask anything at all, before they like need something or want something, we can teach them to pause and say, let me pause and think about how this will impact everybody else around me. How is me needing this thing for my art project in an hour? How does that impact my mom right now? What can I learn from that? Like, I need you to pause and just think about this so that next time when this issue comes up again, where you need something for school, I'm gonna need you to think about how I can't disrupt my day for what you need right now.
Yeah,
So,
that's
what did we learn? How can we use this the next time?
right. How can we stop the argument before it happens next time? So
Mm-hmm.
one more question before we wrap up, and it's a little bit more about relationship building and patience with our teenagers. But I think, most parents of teenagers will find that there are moments where your child is really willing to talk to you and wants to share some pieces of information. And there are other times where they're just not. They're just not ready to talk about something or share something, even though you may be, as the adult in this situation. Is there any correlation between patience, demonstrating patience to them, and being willing to wait until they're ready to share and talk to you about things, or are those two totally different ideas?
Well, you know, it's interesting because what, as you were starting to ask this question, I was thinking about this idea of us modeling patience for our teenagers. You know, I am like, okay, you have to unload the dishwasher. And they're like, okay, I'll do it here after I get finished. And I'm like, no, you'll do it right now because if you don't, you're going to forget, you know, or whatever. And I can almost picture the bubble over my kid's head, and they're like, Mom, have some patience, you know, because I'm asking for patience for them. So I think for me, I think about a couple of things with teenagers as I'm trying to model patience. I think about one, why am I in such a hurry? Is my hurry my own lack of planning? Because I wanted to sleep in, because I jammed too many things into one time frame. Like, is my hurry because I did a poor job of planning? Is my hurry even necessary, right? I find that sometimes I like force my kids into this hurried state or they have to do something right now, right this moment, because I'm worried that, we're going to be late, or another person is going to think a certain thing about me or my family because of this or that. And maybe I don't need to. Maybe I don't need to. Maybe I am choosing to model patience because my kid just woke up and they've not been feeling well and they don't really feel like moving quickly. And I can empathize with that. If I were sick, I wouldn't want to. But in that moment, I'm forgetting to empathize with my kid and have patience with my own kid because I'm worried that the dinner party we're going to show up to, we're going to be 4.5 minutes late. It is sort of like, let me pause and let me see if this really matters. And so, to your question about my timing to have this conversation is right now. I've had plenty of moments where there's been something in my life that someone has asked me about, and I kind of am like, I'm just not really up for talking about that right now. And another grown-up is like, okay, that's cool. I tend to encourage parents of teenagers to focus less on the timing of our agenda, especially for conversations that are important to the child, and maybe wait for the timing for them. Now, you may not be able to wait like days and days, or maybe they just tend to put off every conversation. You may not be able to have patience for that, but you may be able to give patience and then an option. Say, okay, well, if you don't want to talk about it right now, we could either talk about it tonight on the way home from practice, or tomorrow as soon as you wake up, which would be better? So I think you can practice some patience and give them some options that maybe would be appropriate for both of you.
It's sort of the I'm here when you're ready, but we do have
Yeah.
some little how long that can be.
Right. But here are the parameters.
I can be patient, but it can't be 6 months from now.
Right. I can be patient, but we're not just going to keep putting this off. Yeah.
That's great. I love that. All right. Well, I think we've covered it. I feel a little bit better about patience, I
I
have to say.
don't.
No, still hate it. Still hate
Sorry.
it. I feel a little bit better. I truly do. So let's let folks know how they can find us if they want to know more, and then we'll definitely be back next month to talk about something else. So for us, if you want to find out more about Core Essentials, we are our website is coreessentials.org, or you can find us on social media at CE Values.
And I am at makewordsmatterforgood.com, and I have other resources on my website, blog, my book, and other podcasts.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's come back next month. We'll be patient
We're
and
going to
we'll
be
talk.
patient until the next month.
We will. I won't have one single moment in the grocery store line where I huff or roll my eyes. Not
Okay.
one.
You know what? If that's all we do, that's actually making the world a better place. Because it
Okay.
is very stressful at the grocery store, right? When you don't have your credit card, or you don't like something's wrong with your credit card or the machine or something, it's just very stressful.
Yes, you're right. It is. We're gonna have empathy and kindness for those around us.
And lots of patience.
And we're gonna, work on our patience. Excellent. All right, we'll talk to you next month.
Okay, sounds good. Bye.